just talked to one of the Duel writers today. And
what is Duel?
Days of Our Lives. Anyway, you're not going to believe it. My character is coming out of his coma.
Oh, that's right.
And not only that, I'm getting a new brain.
So great things are happening at work and in your personal life.
Wait, what do you mean you're getting a new brain?
Oh, well, they're killing off one of the characters on the show, and when she dies, her brain is being transplanted into my body.
Hello and welcome to another Cake Wolf's Happy Hour. I am Cake Wolf. I am joined with Cake Bitch.
Hey.
It's nice that you have such a wonderful name that allows me to swear just by addressing you.
Well, you gave me the name.
What a name I gave. It is now your birthright on this podcast to be called the Bitch.
No, the Cake Bitch.
The Cake Bitch.
Correct.
Bitch, Bitch.
I said, bitch!
So, today, as we have been doing throughout the month of October, we are doing, once again, 31 Days of Halloween, Monsters Horror Anthology Extravaganza. 72 episodes in this bad boy. Today, we're covering three of them. Uno, dos, tres. That's about as much Spanish as I remember from my...
You know, I think I realized why you sound like Cookie Monster.
What? Where the hell is this coming from? Darian Brock says Christopher Walken with a Turkish accent. Where's this Cookie Monster shit coming from?
His impression sounded like Cookie Monster, and I think it's because of the way you say extravaganza.
Well, I'm not the one who coined that extravaganza shit. That's coming from Ron Martin of the Resurrection Zombie 7 podcast.
Extravaganza? Is he Cookie Monster?
He might be Cookie Monster.
I don't know, but the impression was pretty good.
Extravaganza just doesn't cut it.
All right.
Not after hearing the right way to say it.
I think that the impression was pretty spot on, but yeah.
Oh, was it?
So you sound a little like Cookie Monster.
Okay, then. I guess I'll let you just run off with Mr. Darian Brock and make fun of me. That's fine. Whatever.
You like calling me a bitch, so I'll do, I guess we're
I'll do
even.
My own thing here.
Oh,
I don't need
you.
You
mean I'm off the hook for the rest of this episode? Nice. I just got a lot of free time back.
Monsters ran from the late 80s to early 90s, and we are in season 3 today, covering episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Yep.
This is getting so close to the end of the 24 episodes left in season 3 that I am getting depressed. I don't want it to be over.
Because there's nothing else that he owns that he can watch after Monsters is over, except for 1,000 VHS tapes and probably close to that many Blu-rays and DVDs.
Yeah, actually, quite the many's. But you know, this is nice. I like Monsters. It's a great show, and I mean, there's a reason I don't want it to end. I'm reading the Dark Tower books by Stephen King. I'm really enjoying those, and because I am, I don't want those to end, but I know they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel a little bit sad sometimes when I finish a really good book.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, now it will never, like, you'll always know what's coming, even if you reread it, which I do plan to do for some of my books that I loved. You know what's coming.
Have
so
you
it's
ever...
almost like, well, it's like rewatching a movie, I guess.
Right. Have you ever reread a book?
I haven't yet.
No?
I have so many to get through for the first time, mm-hmm. that it feels wasteful to go back and reread.
My favorite book to reread is probably Thief of Always by Clive Barker. I feel like that one's something you can just page through and enjoy every time.
You know what? I might actually be lying. I think I might have reread God's Behaving Badly.
Okay.
Or it's on my list to reread very shortly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe, like, this summer, if I'm graduated in mm-hmm. time, maybe I'll finally reread it.
You want to tell them what that's about?
Oh, it's, like, a little romance, contemporary literature about the Greek gods who are living in a broken-down old London flat. And they lost all their powers. Well, not all their powers. They still fuck with humans a lot, but they lost a lot of their powers because people don't believe in them anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of ridiculous stuff going on in there.
They pick this one girl to kind of, like, Apollo picks her, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they pick this one girl and, like, send her to the afterlife, and this guy who, they're not even in a relationship yet, they're, like, just crushing on each other, he has to go and save her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cute book, but it's really good. It's well written.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. I like a lot of the curses that they're putting on the humans that help carry me throughout it. I think it's a funny one. It's definitely a comedy, less of a romance, in my opinion. But, yeah, if you like books in the vein of Christopher Moore, then you'll probably like that one, God's Behaving Badly. Anyway, moving on to some horror stuffs, we're kicking off with Small Blessings. This is episode 7 of season 3. This one aired November 11th of 1990. Its director is Roger Nygaard, writers Peggy Haller and Bob Schneider. It stars Julie Brown, Kevin Nealon, Peggy Ray, and David Spade. You'll know David Spade, of course.
From everything.
He's in tons and tons of stuff. Of course, Joe Dirt. And why does everybody remember him from Joe Dirt, of all the things he's done?
He was in that, like, what's it, a political show? I can't remember. He was, like, some assistant in a show that was in the 90s, I want to say.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff. And, I mean, the Tommy Boy movie with Chris Farley, he was in. A lot. He was in with Chris Farley. They were like two peas in a pod sort of thing.
Oh, he was in The Emperor's New Groove. That's right. Well, not him, but he was a voice.
Yeah, in one of his first roles, he was a dude named BJ on Baywatch, which is kind of succinct BJ. With the rest of his career. He's always kind of like humiliated in a sense throughout whatever thing he's portraying.
He was in the Rugrats movie?
He's been in quite a lot. So, Just Shoot Me, that was a fun one too, the television series Just Shoot Me. Kevin Nealon, you'll know him as well. He's another dude in this episode, and he is known from the show Weeds as well as a bunch of other things. He was the constant drug-addled crazy friend in Weeds. So, anyway, moving on with Small Blessings, we're going to let Cake Bitch cover this one since this was her pick of the three, and would you like to kick this one off?
I don't know the guy from Weeds.
Okay.
Am I a weirdo? Was he the dad in this episode?
He was the father, yes.
Kind of dickhole. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyways, in Small Blessings, and I apologize if I sneeze in the middle of this, I'm getting sick again.
Yep, because every time she's around a baby, she gets sick, but yet she keeps going around babies.
They're cute. Anyway, Small Blessings is about a baby,
yep.
I guess. And so the mom is very exasperated. This is how we are introduced to the baby. It will not go to sleep. And she needs the Go the Fuck to Sleep book. I feel like that would have been very helpful for her. But that wasn't out back then. Anyways, Eric won't fucking sleep. Mom wishes she could return him. That makes him cry louder. But trying to demonstrate how you fall asleep, mom accidentally falls asleep on her own, and when she wakes up, Eric is asleep. So she is putting Eric in his crib when the meat man shows up, and I think she's terrified that he's gonna ring the bell, but he doesn't. She puts the baby away, lets the meat man in. He has, like, a shit ton of raw meat for her. Turns out that this is what the baby eats. The baby eats raw meat because the baby is the monster, kind of, in this episode. Anyways, Meat Man shows up. He says, hey, the psycho struck again. And aren't you worried about that? So there's a serial killer stalking around this neighborhood. And this mother is so tired that she can't remember to make sure that the front door is closed and locked. That's what's happening. So, after the meat man leaves, she says, how many ways can I serve raw meat? And falls asleep on top of the meat, which really grossed me out.
I have played with my fair share of raw meat. When I was doing the film school thing, I had made a short about a dude that I can't even remember how it went, but basically, dude arms himself up with vegetables and fights a giant meat monster. And to make the meat monster, I went and bought as much cheap meat as I could and just kind of slapped it together to make it look kind of like a monster. Yeah, and over the time of making the short, it smelled fucking bad.
Yeah.
Like, you do not want to keep raw meat in a basement for more than, well, a few hours, and definitely not for more than 2 days. So, that was a nightmare, playing with that stuff. You had to wear, like, masks while shooting it.
The cat was trying to kill your Black Lagoon creature by batting at the plug.
Oh, I'll throw the cat against a wall then. Okay, so, let's have you continue carrying this through.
Anyways, so when her husband gets home, he wakes her up and he goes, "Where's Eric? He's not in his crib." And they're looking all over and they look up and there's Eric on the ceiling in all his glory. So they put him back to bed and the dad suggests that maybe he would sleep better if the mom would hold the baby more. The mom is not a fan of this idea. She really doesn't like her own child. Like, this is pretty much like early motherhood to the T. You're tired. You think you've made a terrible, terrible mistake. You can't take it back. And you regret everything.
Well, you could take it back if you really wanted to.
Well, yeah, but
right?
You would
be like...
You just
push it back up into the uterus?
No, you take it back to the hospital.
Oh,
I think they actually will take your baby back from you
mm-hmm.
without too many questions.
Well, there was that one story in the Bible that showed you, you know, if you didn't want to keep a baby,
you
could get rid
of
it.
A basket
yeah,
send
you just
it
make
down
a basket of reeds, and then you send it down the river.
And you say, this is God's problem now.
Right.
Right.
Basically. Since we don't have, you know, like, some of the same things that they did back then, most people just flush them down toilets, but...
I don't know how you flush an entire baby down a toilet.
Really?
You'd have to, like, chop it up into teeny pieces.
Grind it up first. That's what people usually do, right?
I don't know. I've never flushed a baby. I've never pondered how it happens.
You've never done this?
No.
So what happens to all the children that I impregnate you with?
They get sent into the ether.
Into the ether?
Yeah, they're ether babies.
Well, you're doing something with them.
They just
evaporate. Either that or my boys don't work.
Or I'm on birth control.
Oh, okay. So anyway, that's what they substitute the basket of reeds for.
Birth
pills.
Control, yes.
Okay.
But birth control, so that there is no baby to send down the basket.
I'm learning.
Anyhow. So they put the baby to sleep, but the baby escapes again, and the front door is open this time, right? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it's a constant thing where the door is
always
open.
Oh, no. Well, the door is always open, but it's not actually open. The baby climbs out the window, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyways, the baby escaped again. They're looking all over their house to try and find Eric, and their nosy neighbor shows up and's like, please, let me just see your precious baby. It's been a month and I haven't seen him.
Yeah, and they don't want the neighbor to see the baby because this thing basically looks like it was put into a blender, shoved down a toilet, and flushed. This thing is nasty. It's got teeth that look like you basically grabbed a bunch of haphazard nails from some old man's garage bin and jammed them into, like, a Cabbage Patch Kid's face and then drew with red crayons all over it where its eyes should be. This thing is bizarre and nasty.
First off, it doesn't look like it was put into a blender. It looks like a Chucky doll with giant teeth and, like, weirdly shaped squishy
eyes. I
think
it's disgusting.
It's pretty ugly. It's pretty ugly, but I think they're more afraid of the neighbor seeing the teeth than anything else, because this is when the mother suggests, oh my god, maybe our baby is the psycho serial killer.
Right.
Because the baby comes back
with a dead dog. Yeah, it comes back with a dead little poodle thing.
A Scotty dog. It's a Scotty dog. So they go to put him back in the crib. The mom is actually welding a cage together. I'm not sure where she got the supplies for this, but this is what is happening. And the dad is cooing the baby and said, did that nasty dog attack my baby? And, he tries to explain to the mom that he brought the dead dog back as an offering because he wants her love.
Right.
And that makes sense, except her baby's a mutant. So she's like, give me the baby. She throws Eric into the cage and slams the door. And Dad leaves because he's angry. He says he's going to get some air, but who says I'm coming back? Because she tells him to bring meat.
Right.
So she...
That's how you get your women in line, folks. You got a randy gal, and she's not listening to you. You just threaten not to come back.
Yeah, I changed the locks. This guy's kind of an ass. Like, he's never home. And she's just dealing with all the baby things. And this baby's not sleeping.
I think
and it might be murdering people.
He's
They're
got the right
sure.
kind of game going on. He's got her wrapped around his little finger.
I am getting my uterus removed tomorrow.
This is another way to prevent children. Just annoy and disgust and horrify your girlfriend. So
that she removes all of her reproductive parts and essentially becomes hormonally a man.
Yep.
Anyway, so the mom returns to the living room and the door is ajar and the apartment's kind of in disarray and there's slashes in the couch. And this is when she realizes that her baby's not the psycho. The psycho is actually the meat man.
Who'da thunk? It's David Spade.
He realizes that the reason that he's not getting front page news coverage is because he needs hot victims. And she's hot. And she's a new mom. And he could kill the baby too. And it would be front page news. Because
right.
no one cares about old fat men.
Right. Nobody cares about killing little poodles. And he's doing this all while stroking his face with this long kitchen knife. And like yeah. real sensual. Like kissing it and rubbing it on his cheeks.
Like, well, it looks kind of like he's trying to shave himself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I thought it was a sexual thing, honestly. He's telling her how gorgeous she is while he's basically stroking his wee-wee.
Yeah, but do you think that he did that for the fat old man, too? That he was, like, stroking his face?
It's David Spade, so I think, yeah,
probably
he did.
Probably for the
yeah.
fat old man, too.
Probably even more so.
Anyways, so he says that he's doing it because no one ever cared about him. And he dubs himself the Silver Slicer. And I can't remember what her response was. Oh, is that some new kitchen gadget?
Yeah.
That's what she says. And he goes, no, that's my name. And he's about to kill her. This is when Eric has somehow escaped from his welded cage. And he attacks David Spade's the Silver Slicer, David
yeah.
Spade's character. And David Spade's character runs out the front door. So, like, he's not dead or anything. This
right.
baby just bit his leg.
Yeah.
He runs out the door, but now mommy loves Eric because Eric saved her life.
Yeah.
And then dad comes home and he's like, what's wrong? Why are you holding the baby? And everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Except that nobody called the police to say, hey, we know who the serial killer is.
They don't have to worry about that. I'm pretty sure he's not coming back with a mutant baby around. That's why I want a mutant baby. So I'm thinking you and I visit Chernobyl.
Well, you
well,
know what?
I'm thinking you visit Chernobyl and just walk around Chernobyl holding on to your labia lips with each fist.
How big do you think my labia lips are?
Spread your vagina open and just walk around airing out that vag in Chernobyl. Like, just get all the good radiation going in there.
Why do I have to die in order to have your mutant baby?
I'm just saying, I want to live to experience this
mutant
baby. I need to be around to see mutant baby bite his first David Spade.
All right, but you're breastfeeding it then. You can feed it with your dick.
Yeah, that's disgusting. How dare you? This
daddy's
is
milk.
This is a podcast that does not go there. Okay, if you
oh,
want,
you just told me to grab both my
I'll tell you
lips
what.
With my fists.
I'll tell you what. I will go to Chernobyl inside a radiation suit, only exposing my chest. That way, I'll grow like nipples upon nipples and probably giant udders.
I think that's how radiation works.
I'll just walk around with udders, basically.
I think it just riddles your body with cancer and then you die.
Are you sure? Because I've seen some movies that say otherwise.
Yeah, no, radiation doesn't work like that.
Are you positive? Have you seen Class of Nukem High?
100% sure that those movies are not real.
Well, I don't know, because I'm pretty sure only bases their films in hard facts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Toxic Avenger, real story.
How would you rate this monster?
I'm going to rate this thing it's a mutant baby. It could have looked way better. It doesn't look that good. I'm going to say a 1.5 because I don't hate it, but it could have looked way better. Looked like a doll throughout most of it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 2.5.
It's like
it
a lanky-looking Cabbage Patch Kid
very
with gangle teeth.
Clearly a cheap reproduction of what they really wanted.
Right.
But it was pretty hideous.
It was.
So I'm going to give it a point just for hideousness.
Oh, sure. How much?
2.5.
2.5? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Why not?
This thing was super ugly. I'm probably going to have dreams about it tonight. I've been having real vivid dreams, so.
Yeah, well, if you ever do get pregnant, we're going to have a 9-month marathon of, like, unborn. And it's alive. We can throw this one on. The Chucky movies. We'll make this so much fun.
See, what Cake Wolf isn't telling you is that he is, like, petrified that we're going to have a boy, because then he'll have to look at a dirty, dirty penis every day.
That's awful. Will you stop talking about wieners?
So, what if our baby
on this
has,
podcast,
like,
we only talk
weirdly
about
large penis. And that's how it's a mutant. What if your baby it's a tripod?
Well, then I guess he's got to be the next Ron Jeremy, and I can just...
Ugh, Ron Jeremy's so gross.
At that point, I can just be like, my kid's got a huge wang. I'm just quitting my job. They'll be like, hey, why are you quitting your job? And be like, my kid's going into porn. And they'll go like...
Literally have no idea how Ron Jeremy was in porn at any point, because he is... really gross looking.
But he's got a massive penis.
Yeah, that does not mean anything in the sex world. In realistic times. Is he just a double? Like, is that for the close-up shots?
I think that you just don't know anything about porno, my dear. Like, do you watch porn? Do you see that the women are good-looking and the men don't have to be?
No, usually the porn I watch, the men are pretty good looking.
Well, there's an audience for that, but it doesn't always matter.
Oh, it doesn't matter for men because you like to pretend that a guy...
Well, let's just say that most men that do the violent stuff are not good looking. There was a dude named James Dean that named himself after the classic actor... that was good looking, and he was more of a violent porn star kind of dude that did the bondage stuff and all of that. But typically, it's the gross people that get into that, especially old. So Miss Monica of the Padded Room Podcast will know all about the old and disgusting men that fuck hot women.
Ew.
Yeah. So talk to her.
So that does something for men, though.
Well, but what, good looking women?
No.
Yeah.
Ugly men fucking good-looking women.
Oh, well, some women, yeah, sure.
It just doesn't make any sense to
it
me.
It doesn't have to.
It's so
but
gross.
But it makes sense for other people.
Okay.
Does eel porn make sense to you? Brussels sprout fart porn? Smashing cakes? Smashing cakes with your ass.
Is that a real thing? Brussels sprout fart porn?
Can you think of it?
I have never seen that category.
Everything exists.
I am going to have to Google that.
What do they call
later.
That? Rule 31? Isn't that the rule? Think about it, it exists on the internet. Yeah, every kind of porn you can imagine exists, my dear. And I have a collection I've been telling you about. My weird Japanese stuff.
Yeah, I don't need to see that.
Well, if
but
you
that
want to.
At least remotely makes sense.
Like, one of them that I have has these dudes that have stopwatches. They can stop time. And what they do is they stop time, they carry around straws, they pull the panties off of women and drink from their vaginas with straws. They drink, like, the vagina juice out of them. Yeah, that's one of the Japanese porns that I have.
So obsessed with vagina.
I guess.
Sea creatures.
Sure.
and, like, animal things, apparently.
All kinds of things.
He said that those onesie pajamas are supposed to be sexy.
The kigurumis, they're just fucking pajamas that look like animals. Just chill, okay?
You were trying to tell me that they were supposed to be sexy.
Well, they can be.
Okay.
In certain contexts. All right, let's move on. Sick-minded mother leather bitch. All right, so where were we? Monster has been raided, and we're moving on to other media options for weird baby things. We've got Christopher Moore's Dirty Job and its sequel, Secondhand Souls, which covers more of the evil killer baby. Not so much evil, but definitely a killer baby. So it's basically a comedy, horror, urban fantasy with a heavy emphasis on the comedy. Christopher Moore, if you're familiar with his work, is a dude that really hams it up with his writing. So his stuff is really fun. It's not long reads. Stuff that you can kind of knock out in a weekend when you got some free time. And basically we've got a beta male here. And his name's Charlie Asher. Beta male is opposed to the alpha male. This is the kind of dude that's always kind of scored last and picked last at the dodgeball tournaments and never really scored hot in high school. But he's basically running a secondhand store, and he gets involved with a situation where after his wife dies, giving birth to his new daughter, he's basically becoming a Grim Reaper. And in a strange turn of events, his daughter gets some strange Reaper abilities as well. So she doesn't know how to use them too well. Whenever she says fluffy kitten, someone dies. kind of strange stuff, but a lot of fun. So highly suggest that for a killer baby. Lots of killer baby movies out there and in media. So have at ya. What?
Revenge.
Revenge, sure.
That
yeah.
could almost qualify.
Yeah, why not? We're going to see if you're going to change anything for this. And do you think this would work as a movie?
I don't think you could turn this into a movie.
No?
No, it's just a little too cheesy.
Okay, I think it could.
Not so complicated.
I think it would be fine. I mean, it would have to be something real low budget, but you could definitely have a monster baby that's avenging a town by attacking a serial killer that's on the loose. Sure, why not?
Yeah, but it's also killing all the dogs in the neighborhood, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
As long as it's done comically, it's fine. So, don't think this one's scary. Is there a lesson here?
Apparently to hug your baby.
Yes. Yeah, David Spade does say in a one-liner that he wasn't hugged enough as a child. So.
Yeah, nobody cared about him.
Yeah.
And so he became a serial killer.
So hug your baby.
Even if it has really, really, really sharp teeth.
Yeah.
I guess the baby eats raw meat, so that's how they feed it.
What would you rate this?
I'd probably give it, like, a 2.5.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 2. I think it's fine. I think it's one you could watch.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible by any means.
No.
And
it's goofy.
The acting was okay, but, like, the goofiness just didn't get to the point that, like, other goofy ones got to, like, right. Satan in the Suburbs. That one was fantastic, and this mm-hmm. one just didn't quite reach that potential.
It wasn't absurd enough for you.
Yeah, I guess so.
I thought there was a nice scene in there where the mother is basically using the raw meat to make a swan for her son to eat. That was interesting.
She's trying to figure out new ways to serve raw meat.
So she shapes it into different animals and stuff. Mm-hmm. No wonder the kid's going out and killing animals.
Why? Because there's already...
Because she's shaping the meat to look like animals.
Oh, but there's no swans. He's killing dogs.
That's the next... It's the closest thing to a swan is a dog, right? When you're in a suburb, what do you got? You can choose between a cat or a dog.
I don't know.
And a dog's
it
probably
make
more
sense
like a swan.
The baby is like, let me go out and kill something because there's all this raw meat laying around.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, the baby wasn't, if you were paying attention, he doesn't actually kill any of the animals. He's only bringing the animals' bodies back because David Spade's killing the animals. David Spade mentions killing the animals.
Well, I thought it was a cat that he killed, not a dog. The story was that he killed a cat.
He didn't actually kill anything, though. It's been David Spade the whole time.
No, David Spade's character killed a cat. He didn't kill a dog. They established that he killed a cat.
All right. I don't care what the hell he killed, I guess. I could be wrong. You could be right. You're probably right. That's fine.
Okay, whatever.
You're still going to Chernobyl.
You are, too. To get your 20 million nipples.
All right. So, next episode here, episode 8 of season 3, Shaving a Haircut to Bites. Are you familiar with the old Shaving a Haircut to Bits thing?
No, I couldn't remember what the saying was.
Yeah. I learned that from Roger Rabbit. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I've never watched that movie.
Oh my god.
I think one of my exes
living under a rock was like Lena Hyena was one of the scariest things I saw as a kid.
I know you have said this before, and yeah. I have seen Jessica Rabbit, and she is a very sexually drawn rabbit, and it's weird.
She's not a rabbit. She's just drawn that way.
No, she's drawn bad.
But she's not a rabbit. Not
really bad.
I was mixing things. I was mixing. Okay, she's not a rabbit.
Is she not a rabbit?
No.
Oh. I thought she had an ear, a bunny ear.
No, she doesn't. And her last name is Rabbit because she's married to Roger.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's just patriarchy.
Sure, if you want to take it there.
Making me feel like she has rabbit ears.
No, she doesn't have rabbit ears.
Whoa.
So
they allowed interspecies marriages in this time?
Sure. I mean, Howard the Duck fucked Chris... What was her name? Caroline in the City.
A person?
Yeah.
Ducks have, like, the weirdest genitalia ever.
Yeah, and they usually kill their mate when they're having sex because they pin their necks down with their beaks.
See? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't have to.
Sometimes things should make sense.
Doesn't have to. George Lucas had a promising career with Star Wars and made it even better when he did Howard the Duck. So, that's all you need to know.
What? Really? He did Howard the Duck?
Yeah. Oh, right after Star Wars. So, for this episode that aired November 18th of 1990, we've got the director John Strysik, writer Dan Simmons, and this one stars Will Wheaton, Matt LeBlanc, John O'Leary, and Al Mancini. You will know Will Wheaton, obviously.
Was he the nerd kid?
He was the nerd kid. Will Wheaton was in Star Trek The Next Generation as Wesley Crusher. He's also been all over the place. Will Wheaton's a great guy. Matt LeBlanc, you'll know him from Friends, the television sitcom that ran during the 90s.
Yeah, he was Joey this whole episode.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I just wrote Joey all over the place.
Mm-hmm. It's Joey. And it's pretty strange seeing Joey in one of these episodes of Monsters. Will Wheaton I could definitely see, but I didn't expect to see Joey.
Well, was this was before Friends fame.
Well, let's see.
Is this one of the first things
he... I don't know when Friends aired, actually. You can look that up while I'm talking. But, yeah, so those are that's our cast here. And basically what we got is we've got Kevin played by Will Wheaton and Tommy played by Matt LeBlanc. And the two of them are best friends. They go to the same school together. They are in high school. And Kevin is a bit of a dweeb. He likes to wear a do-rag on his head and dress up in psychedelic t-shirts and pretty much the whole Texas tuxedo thing going on with the jean jacket and jeans on. He's got some Reebok sneakers that look like they got the Air Jordan thing going. So yeah, pretty cool dude. I would have liked him as a kid. He's also got some Coke bottle glasses on. So yeah, my kind of guy. And he, is best friends with Tommy, who's kind of like the woman's man, you know. I mean, if you've seen Joey in the show Friends, you know, he's a good looking dude and they make him the same in this episode.
I don't think he's quite as dumb.
No, but he's a good-looking dude, is what I'm saying.
He's a good-looking dude. Right. I think he plays sports. Yeah, he plays sports. He's worried about getting kicked off the basketball team, I think it is.
So, basically, the two of them are hanging out at Kevin's house. Kevin lives in a house that's overlooking a barber shop. And Kevin believes that this barbershop is run by two old vampires, and he's trying to convince Tommy of this. And we've got about, I would say, 7 minutes. It's quite a long time of dialogue between Kevin and Tommy. Kevin trying to convince Tommy that there are indeed vampires over there. He's given Tommy the rundown of some history about vampires, and basically, we get to find out that the barber pole is linked to bloodletting in a way. There were actually guilds that barbers were included in, and barbers were essentially not just men who did haircuts and a shave. They were also surgeons, and this happened up until the around the 1700s is when this sort of thing ended.
Well, yeah, that they did bloodletting, which was a It was a treatment for illness back then. They thought if you got the bad blood out, that would help people.
Yeah, recover. And this is actually a real thing. This isn't something fake that's made up for this episode. Barbers actually did have a guild. They were surgeons. And when you went there, you could get your shave and a haircut, and you could get bloodletted as well. So there is some substance behind there. There's also a lot of theories of them being linked with vampires or being vampires themselves. And yeah, so that's pretty interesting that this episode's going there. We're getting a little bit of a history lesson playing proxy in Tommy's seat. So what we have here is Kevin wants to basically go next door and investigate while these supposed vampires are gone. Tommy's hesitant, but Kevin convinces him to do it. I mean, when you're young, you don't need too much convincing to do something stupid. I've done my fair share of stupid stuff. They break into the barbershop and have a little bit more of a discussion while Kevin's looking around and trying to find out what evidence he can find. He ends up finding shaver, like an old classic shaver that has some Latin written on it. And it's really like heavily engraved and ornate. And the Latin basically translates to...
endure this evil, lest a greater come upon you.
Yeah. So that's cool. I would like to have that, shaver. I would like that very much. So, you know, get on that. That'll be a nice Christmas gift. So, moving on, basically, we've, got a little bit more of a history lesson going on, as I said. But, the door starts to open, and Kevin hides underneath the cabinet where they store, like, the alcohol and whatnot for their shaver business. Tommy hides in a back, there's a back door that leads down to a basement. Tommy hides behind that door. And Tommy gets to see as these old people come in and instantly find Kevin, pull him out, and put him in the barber's chair and start interrogating him. Kevin throws out some excuses like he was trying to rob them and things of that nature because he doesn't want them to know why he's actually there. But they're on to him, and Kevin kind of has to give it up because he knows that they're not going to be fooled. So he tells them he thinks they're vampires and he was there to get some proof. And they say, well, why do you think we're vampires? And Kevin tells them basically what he's been telling Tommy this episode. People go there with big red bottles that are filled with a red liquid, big ones. And they come out with very small bottles of red liquid. And he thinks there's some kind of strange thing going on there with blood supply. And the vampires say, well, wouldn't it make sense if we were vampires that this would kind of be strange for people to be bringing us, you know, the blood and then leaving with blood? You know, what doesn't make any sense. Also, vampires don't have reflections, and they look in the mirror, and the kid throws back at them, you know, well, that could just be a myth. And then, you know, they go through the whole rigmarole of running water, that vampires can't cross that. That they don't like crucifixes, and everything is basically debunked.
Yep.
Dude crosses the bridge regularly. Dude pulls out a rosary, kisses the cross, says that he goes to mass, and yeah. So none of this is adding up for him. And they're also not letting Tommy go. So I'm still kind of skeeved out. what they end up doing, and these are like two old men that are pretty damn strong, they end up putting him in the chair, putting this thing around his neck that holds him in place, and then cutting his jugular. So he starts bleeding into what seems like a little funnel system almost. It's basically a tray that's collecting the blood and draining it down into a tube, and the tube leads somewhere down into the basement. And Tommy gets real freaked out by this. He starts running down the stairs in the basement, looking for a way out. He comes across all of these slugs that his friend Tommy had said, leeches that Tommy had said they were going to be looking for, because this would also be a sign of vampirism. Tommy reads a lot of vampire books and lore, so he's digging deep for some of these old myths. But they're all here in this basement, everything they were looking for, basically. And also something very strange that they were not expecting to see, and nothing that I, myself, was expecting to see.
Yeah, this is a weird monster.
So Tommy finds the vampire. It's not these two old men. These two old men are basically the ghouls. The vampire is actually a giant leech, basically.
Yeah, and like a flesh-colored
leech. Yeah, it's a giant flesh-colored leech. Looks a little bit human in a sense. Like, if you take Jabba the Hutt, you take away his arms, you make him flesh-toned like a person, and you give him a strange, like, a little strange proboscis-like thing on his mouth and some, like, watery...
Yeah, like a leech mouth.
Yeah, he's got, like, these watery, milky eyes. Very creepy looking. He's on an altar as well. Not an altar, a throne. He's basically on a throne. And he's sucking the blood that's dripping down from the upper floor. Tommy's blood is coming down this tube, and the leech is sucking it out of the straw. The old men come down, they grab Kevin, and they tell him, you know, well, yeah, I guess you found out who our master is. Now you know who the real vampire is. That's not us. We've been around for many, many years. We take care of the master. And we're looking for some people to help us out and take our stead so we can retire. And Tommy doesn't want anything to do with this. But the leech moves its tail, which has a hole on it, and one of the old men puts a chalice underneath the tail and collects some blood from it. And very weird. It's like leech excrement in a sense, I guess. But he forces Tommy.
It's butt serum,
right? He forces Tommy to drink the butt serum from the vampire leech. And as soon as Tommy drinks it, he's hooked. So they describe this to Tommy as like it's going to be a longevity thing. It's going to keep him alive for a very long time. And all they have to do is supply the master with blood. And if you give other people this serum, this butt serum, they're going to supply you with the blood. This is just kind of how this town works. And so we find out that they give some of this butt serum to Kevin, so Kevin doesn't actually die. And Tommy and Kevin take over the business. And they've been doing it for years.
Yeah, the barber actually says, don't worry, you're not going to bleed out. I have a lot of experience doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where our episode ends. Very cool episode. Strange, but very cool. I would give this monster a 5 based on the fact that it was a vampire, but it was a very unexpected type of vampire. Very bizarre. Did not see it coming. It's a fucking giant leech.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4. It was a pretty cool monster. It wasn't terrifying. It did look like Jabba the Hutt, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. I liked it a lot.
Or Pizza the Hutt.
Now, what would you say that you would change for this, and would it work as a movie?
I thought this was actually a pretty good episode. I don't know that I would change anything about it. But do I think it could be a movie?
I think it could. If you do it like a 1970s style mood movie with some strong tones of music carrying it through, you could definitely have a town of
you know, people that seem far too wise for their own right. They've been around for centuries. It's because of this giant leech that's underneath the barber shop. And we've got some people maybe, like, break down, and they're in this town, you know, and they're sort of learning all of this strange stuff as they're, you know, going through it. They find out the secret of the town. I think it could work.
Yeah, I guess you could also follow some of the people to find out how they get the blood, whether it's all, like, you know, people come to them willingly, or whether it's like they decide that they're going to just bleed somebody out in the woods.
Yeah, and I'd like to know more about this master, this vampire master. I'd like to know if, like, this is something that's been around since the dinosaurs, because it kind of resembled like a giant insect in a way. I don't know.
Tardigrade.
Yeah, I'd like to know more about it. For other media, I'm going to throw at you Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. This is a game for the PC. You can currently get this on Steam, which is basically an app that you can grab on the on your computer and, you know, download tons of games. It's an awesome system that they got working there, and they're bringing back a ton of retro games, including this Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, which is based on tabletop pen and paper RPG. Sort of in the lines of Dungeons & Dragons, if any of you have played that, but this is more of a modern setting with monsters incorporating themselves into our society and the different ways they do that. In this game, you make your own character. You are playing a vampire. You're sired by someone who dies right after they sire you, and you sort of learn about the vampire society organically as you are basically turned into the prince vampire's bitch and have to do his little tasks. Every task that you're given, every mission that you go on, there's so many different ways that you can tackle that mission with whatever vampire you choose to play. There's so much to get into for this game. Basically, if you want to be a fighter, you can do that. You want to be an investigator, you can do that. You can not fight throughout the game at all. You can just go through it socially, talk your way through it. Yeah, and one of the fun things about it is you can actually go and get hookers to feed off of. That's fun.
Is that fun?
Yeah.
Would it be more fun if they were draining your blood from your dick?
Where is this coming from?
I just thought I'd bring it back in okay. Full circle.
Anyway, it's a great game. I highly suggest it. If you're looking for something to fill your need for games like, I can't think of any of them right now, like Dragon Age or things that BioWare would be putting out there where you kind of like have an RPG setting, you're building your character stats up and you get a lot of dialogue choices to shape the story. And you like that kind of like shaping the story around your choices kind of gameplay. This is awesome for horror fans. It's essentially an earlier version of the BioWare games for horror fans. So check that out. What would you rate this one? And do you think there's a lesson here?
Well, first I want to interject that this was 4 years before Friends aired.
Okay.
So it was before Friends, which I had a feeling it was.
Gotcha.
I don't know that there's really a lesson of this story other than like, well, they weren't vampires, though. I was going to say that the lore isn't true all the time. Like, you can't trust everything you read on the internet.
Right.
But, I don't know. Do you think there's a lesson?
I think the lesson would be, don't go nosing around where you don't belong, I suppose. But it ended up working out for them.
I mean, does this mean they
get to live a life of drinking leech vampire like, butt juice,
butt serum?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That seems like a
stretch. I don't know if there really is a lesson here. I feel like this one's
just a horror story,
a strange and fun horror story.
Moving on to our next one.
Oh, the rating, though. Did you rate it?
I'm going to give this one a 4.5. I think it was really good. I liked it a lot.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was the strongest, I think, of the three episodes we watched tonight.
The thing that hurt it for me was there was too much, again, like most of these episodes, there's too much dialogue in it.
Well, yeah, and that kid was, like, rambling on. Like, dude, like, none of that matters.
Right.
What you are like a conspiracy theorist right now.
But moving on to our next one, we've got The Young and the Headless. This is episode 9 of season 3. It aired November 25th of 1990. The director is Tom Abrams. Our writers are Peg Haler, and this is based on a story by W.C. Morrow, who is a prolific horror writer that did a lot of work for the Weird Tales magazine back in the day. Our actors are Karen Valentine, George Reinholdt, and John Schlappa. And what we have here is Karen Valentine's character is Victoria, and her husband is named Edward, played by George Reinholdt. Victoria and Edward start off, basically the episode kicks it off with them doing an experiment on something that looks kind of like a bird. So they're doing that, and they're very romantic with one another. We've got some music paired with this episode that feels like a soap opera, which is appropriate for the name of this. Well,
Edward and Victoria, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this whole thing could be a soap opera episode. Okay. This is not a stretch.
So,
I mean, that's why you played the Joey Tribbiani thing at the beginning, where he is recounting his work as an actor on a soap opera.
Yeah.
Where he gets a
head transplant. Yeah. Yeah.
Gets a new
Also, brain. He was in the last episode, so it was a double whammy.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of connected all of it.
So, yeah, they're doing that. Then we transition to find out that Victoria is visited by Hunk, a man that came from the jungle 7 years lost her ex-husband. He now wants to come back and fuck Victoria's brains out. Doesn't care that she's moved on and married Edward. So
he's kind of abrasive. I didn't like him. I wouldn't want to fuck him.
Victoria, she's a good-looking woman. She's an older woman, probably in her 50s, but still a very fine-looking broad. Hunk looks like he's straight out of a G.I. Joe cartoon. He is shirtless, wearing army jeans, combat boots, long blonde hair, and has a tattoo of a skull on his fist.
I immediately thought of He-Man.
Oh, okay. He also has a giant Crocodile Dundee knife that he carries around with him everywhere. And he uses this to throw at the bird that flies into the room that they were working on recently. This bird is headless. It's a headless bird. It has this, like, strange thing that's on top of its neck, where its head should be. It looks like a little robotic device.
Mm-hmm.
He throws it into the bird and makes it stick to the wall, and then tries to fuck Victoria.
I think it's also important to point out that he uses the knife to literally break into her home.
Right. Basically, Victoria is not having it, and then she is. Her mind doesn't
that
like him
feel
because
gross.
Hunk is really stupid. Victoria is a very smart broad. She doesn't like him mentally, but her body can't resist him.
Such a bad.
We see Edward, her new husband, roll in. He is a cripple. He's in a wheelchair. And he says, "Oh, who is this?" And everything in here, all of the deliveries, very soap opera like. All of the acting is upped by like 10 notches to make it overly dramatic, and it works.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's kind of supposed to be soap opera level.
Right. So what we have going on here is a bit of a jealousy thing back and forth. And what ends up happening is Edward knows that he has to get rid of Hunk because his wife's going to end up fucking him. She can't help it. Now, the way that he has to do this is with his brains because he can't do it with his brawn since he's in a wheelchair. So he makes it seem like Hunk is the ultimate He-Man and Edward is this nothing of a, you know, he's just a squirt. And since he can't compare, he's going to kill himself. But he goes to Hunk and says, "Because I need to kill myself,
my hands, they shake so much. I'm afraid I'm gonna do it wrong. So maybe you could show me the right way to do it. And, yeah, so he tells Hunk where the gun and ammunition is, and he asks Hunk to demonstrate for him how to kill himself. Hunk is all about this because he wants Victoria all for himself. So he tells him the wrong ways to do it, to put it to the temple, the front of the head, back of the head. The best way to do it is to hold it straight up, point it back in your mouth, and pull the trigger. And Edward says, so when you're pulling the trigger, do you want to do it quick or do you want to do it slow? And Hunk's like, well, you want to do it slow, so you've got control. So you slowly squeeze the trigger. And yeah, Edward says, can you demonstrate that for me? Hunk starts doing it. And basically, Hunk just does it all. He, like, basically blows his brains out, like, demonstrating how to kill yourself to Edward. He kills himself.
Yeah.
So Edward's like, yes, I'm a genius mad scientist.
Yeah, and, both of these men are awful.
And so he tells, Victoria comes in and she's like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And Edward tries to put a lie down and says, I tried to stop him. Victoria says, why? He's an idiot. And Edward
yeah,
says,
like, this is the best thing that could have happened.
Right. And Edward's like, you know what? This is why I love you. You never cease to surprise me. Now help me get him into the lab so we can cut off his head. And that's exactly what they do. They bring him into the lab, they cut off his head, and they make him the next automaton. So now he is a robot and he is controlled by a remote control that Edward has. Edward's got some jealousy issues going on here. He can't stand having Hunk being around because even though he is now a robot, his wife can't take her eyes off of his pecs and his six-pack abs. So
yeah, see, if a porn featured a headless man with that body, that would make sense.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a market for it.
I liked the scene, though, that's coming
right
up. Yeah.
So basically, we start having a couple of clips here and there that we're noticing Hunk isn't completely an automaton. He's sort of still in there somewhere. And Edward is completely jealous, so he kind of storms off. Hunk visits Victoria in bed.
Oh, you didn't
after
cover the
Victoria
scene that I really
and
liked.
Edward have an argument. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, there's a scene in it where Edward makes Hunk dance
right
with his wife.
Yeah.
And this is how he finds out his wife is still very attracted to him. But,
yeah,
like, the dance scene before his wife starts dancing with him is just ridiculous. He's doing all the stupid dance
moves.
Well,
he's doing the moonwalk, the funky chicken. He's shucking and jiving. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous. Anyway, so, yeah. Hunk visits his wife, Victoria.
So you get about 30 seconds of a headless, masculine dude dancing around like a nut. And then we got Hunk visiting Victoria in bed after she has an argument with her husband, Edward. Hunk basically fucks the shit out of her, and she thinks that he's controlled by Edward. But, and the sex scene is strange because she keeps trying to, like, put her hands behind the head to, like, have leverage, and she keeps, like, hitting nothing. So it's like awkward sex scene. But yeah, it's funny. And then we see Hunk come in and he says, dun dun dun, what have you been doing? Oh my god.
You see Edward come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. So Edward comes in, dun dun dun, gets all upset, and basically says, we're going to have to make some modifications to him again. I'll be right back. And we see Hunk come, Hunk gets up and stops Edward in his tracks, strangles him to death, and Victoria has a little bit of a fight with Hunk herself. She gets like a water spray bottle thing.
Yeah, it was a weird looking spray bottle,
yeah,
but it was essentially a spray bottle.
Right, and she squirts it on his machines and it fries him. And then we see Victoria dragging the two of them into the lab. And the next scene, she basically puts Edward's head on Hunk's body. And now she has the perfect man. She's got the body she loves and the brain she loves. And she's having a great time.
She literally has the worst man.
She's got the best.
Both of them were awful people.
I think they were pretty good. I liked them both. And with the head on Hunk's body, the last scene you see is Edward kind of moving his neck around like he's not really used to the body yet, but he likes being in there.
It's like he's doing a hula hoop around his neck.
Yeah,
the way he keeps like moving his rotating,
he's really
his
moving
head
his
around.
Head around,
it's
and
really
we've got
weird.
Stitches all the way around his neck. It looks fantastic.
The
so
skin
where
doesn't match.
Right where Hunk's body is like really muscular and like tanned. Edward's head is pale like Uncle Fester. So yeah. Anyway, I'm going to throw at you a rating of this monster here. I'm going to give this one give it a 1.5. I think it's fine.
See, the monsters are getting more fuzzy every time. Like, is the mad scientist the monster? Or, like, what is the monster? Just the concoction at the end?
I'm just going to say anything that didn't have a head and was still moving around. Or the body that had the head that it didn't before. So all three of those things. We got the bird without a head. We got the body without a head. And then we got the amalgamation of Edward and Hunk.
See, it's hard for me to rate this because I really didn't like this episode.
Okay.
I'm going to give the monster, like, a 1.
All right. Sure.
Yeah.
What would you say that you would change about this? And do you think it would work as a movie?
Like I said, I just didn't really like this, so I would probably change most things.
Okay.
And I don't want to see it as a movie.
Well, I wouldn't really change anything. I think it was pretty decent. I feel like this was one of the stronger episodes, and I don't see it working as a movie. I think it works fine in this little soap opera vignette that it's living in.
Well,
and I'm going
to
give this episode a 3.5. I think it's really good.
It would be like Frankenhooker.
Right. I mean, it's got a weak, you know, the monster's fine for the purposes of the story, but it looks kind of goofy as shit. But still serviceable to the absurdity of this episode. And yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, the episode rating, I'd probably give it a 2.
Okay.
And I feel like that's generous.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I love the guy convincing, I loved Edward convincing Hunk to, like, show him how to kill himself, and then Hunk just fucking going all the way through with it. That
See,
was amazing.
But this is why Edward is a worst man, too. Like, both of them are terrible people.
I think you're
Hunk is
ridiculous.
Rapey, and he breaks into Victoria's home, and when she's saying no, 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 he just jumps her anyway. Like, gross. Hunk is gross. And then Edward talks the guy into shooting himself
Dude,
in the head. He's,
come on.
Like, literally
it's
the worst,
It's a
too.
Parody to a fucking soap opera.
I know, but it's so gross.
It's amazing.
They're both so disgusting.
It works very well. I'm going to throw
and
at you...
And now she's stuck with the worst of both of them.
No, the best. I'm going to throw at you another recommendation. I have Mad Scientist. This is basically a toy line from the late 80s, I believe 87... So, about four years old when this stuff came out. I think I was around, like, 5 or 6 when I got my first thing. This was basically a bunch of play sets that featured the Mad Scientist and told kids, you know, you can be gross just like the Mad Scientist. And all of these toys were pretty rad. There was these monsters that looked kind of like trolls, and they came as skeletons. You put the skeletons together, you dip them in this stuff called monster flesh, which wraps around them, and then you can, like, rip the flesh off of them and pretend that you're, like, you know, peeling flesh off of monsters, which is pretty fun. There was another thing that was basically this, like, alien that you put slime into, and then you would shoot the slime out of its nose. That was fun. The one that I had was a dissect an alien set, which basically it was this weird looking crab like monster, supposed to be an alien. It had a translucent chest that had sutures on it, and you got these dissecting tools to, like, lift the sutures, act like you're cutting open the translucent chest, And then the body itself is filled with, like, a bunch of organs. There were 12 organs, like the heart and other things, but they were all just, like, very weird looking because they're supposed to be alien organs. And then you throw in a bunch of slime. So you're digging in there with, like, forceps and stuff, pulling out the organs, and all this slime's going everywhere. It was a lot of fun.
Think that the organs were just weirdly shaped because they were bad at making organs?
I don't think that you are familiar with toys from the 80s, Christina, because if you were, you would take that back. These toys were awesome, and they had awesome details to them. You're a bitch. One of the other cool toys that there was is something called Splatters, which was basically these, like, they looked like little reptiles or spider monsters, and they had a torso that you would fill with slime, and then you would connect legs and arms and a head onto these torsos once they were filled with the slime, and then you basically punch or stomp on them and, you know, watch their heads and limbs fly off and the slime shoot out of the torso. So, teaching kids to be violent. What's better than that?
I guess because I was born in 85, I'm more of a 90s girl.
Okay.
Like, my toys prior to being 5 years old were probably Lincoln Logs, which I probably didn't really build with. And a stuffed animal that I named Puffy. I think it was like, I don't even know what it was. But it was like a weird elephant bear conglomeration.
Yeah?
And that's really all. That's all I remember from my life prior to being five.
Okay. My, one of my favorite teddy bears was called a beastly bear. You could like flip its head. And, like, it looked like a normal bear, multicolored. Mm-hmm. They had different colors. Mine was, orange, blue, like, dark purple and red. You basically flip its head over, and it's a werewolf underneath. And then mm-hmm. its little paws, you can flip them over, and it's got claws.
See, I wasn't a sleeper as a baby, so my parents never got me one of those because they wanted me to sleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
well, yeah, sure.
So, and then, like, I just remember a lot of Barbies.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, essentially my childhood was Barbies.
And, yeah, you had told me the way you made, like, you played with your Barbies. You were into making them lesbians and stuff.
We had lesbian Barbies. Sadly, yeah. It was always the ones that had a bad haircut that turned into lesbians.
Did you actually put their heads?
They dated hot Barbies.
Did you actually put their heads on each other's crotches and stuff?
No, I wasn't that sexualized.
Oh. So you didn't make the Barbies have oral?
No, they just made out. They, like, copped a feel.
Did you ever make them poop?
No.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Like, Barbie doesn't need to poop. She's just a doll.
So, idealizing, you know, like, life through the actions of your toys, you would like it if you never had to poop.
Well, yeah, but that might be because, like, I rarely have religious experiences like you do on the toilet. Mine are, like, almost always super painful because I have IBS, and so I'm either not pooping for a few days, and then everything comes out at once like lava, or, like, I have more abdominal cramps that I really need to get, like, the 4-inch turd out.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so Barbie didn't shit.
There is nothing like a good, healthy shit to make me feel like a new man. I feel like I've just come out of a cryogenic stasis after I've had a good,
yeah,
healthy
shit.
Yeah,
I know, shit. And I'm kind of jealous because, like, literally I think that has happened. No, the only religious experience I get when I poop is when I make it to the toilet on time and I don't shit my pants.
Have you shit your pants?
I have not yet, but I'm sure I will.
Are you sure?
Day. Oh, no, you're right. I did poop my pants in, like, third grade.
Okay.
Yeah, I had one of those fucking rompers on that you can't pull down, and I had to go really badly at the park. I'll never forget it. I was trying to get it off to get it down so that I could shit, and I shit in the romper. That's why I hate rompers. Like, when those came back around, I was like, what the fuck are people thinking? You have to literally get naked to shit.
When I was really little, I had to go to school one day. I didn't want to go. I had big casts on my legs because I was always... I couldn't walk on my own without, like, some kind of support system for a long time.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised you used the word cripple.
So, I had these big casts on, like, the whole Forrest Gump kind of thing going on. Crutches as well. And I didn't want to go to school, you know. I didn't want to deal with all of the being made fun of and this and that. And so I'm going down to the bus stop. I'm trying to think, how can I get out of this? I'm like halfway to this bus stop. What do I do? I want to stay home. I want to play with my He-Man figures. I want to dissect the alien again. God, come on. What do I do? So I hide in some bushes at my neighbor's. Her name was Millie. Called her Millie Vanilli. Hid in her bushes. And I forced myself to shit myself. Yep.
I vomited and, in bushes.
And it was, and then I go home and I tell my mom, you know, Mom, I had an accident. I have to stay home. And she's feeling bad for me, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's helping me, you know, get cleaned up because I have my casts on and everything. So she, like, you know, I get my pants down and everything. And it's a giant turd. It's not like diarrhea. And, it, you know, I'm young. I don't know the difference.
But you sing, like, the diarrhea song all the time as a kid.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't mean that my, like, that doesn't mean that I'm smart as a kid. Okay?
It doesn't mean I'm smart. Heard it here first.
I was a pretty dumb kid. So, you know, there's this giant turd in my pants, like full rock hard turd. And she looks at me and she's like, yeah, you're going to school. So that sucked. That didn't work out. That was one of the times I shit myself.
God. Well, you told me the story about how you took Mucinex and it didn't agree with you. And
oh,
that's,
yeah.
Like, that doesn't... I feel like drug interactions shouldn't count.
Well, I was allergic to the Mucinex. And I mean, Dust Brain actually gave me this Mucinex. So as far as I'm concerned, he poisoned me. But yeah, boiling hot day, driving a car from Pittsburgh to Lebanon, 4.5-hour drive in the hot sun with no air conditioning, and allergic reaction to Mucinex. I'm throwing up and shitting myself everywhere. I don't want to pull over somewhere because I'm so embarrassed, and my car smells like vomit and shit, and so I go to a McDonald's and swallow some pride, not much, because I'm so thirsty I can barely swallow. I'm like coughing constantly. All this vomit stuff's making my throat gross. Burn. I get a Sprite, and I get my Sprite, and the person at the checkout is just like... like making all these faces and going, oh God, what the fuck? Like, I have not seen someone react so negatively to someone covered in vomit and shit.
I feel like I would probably react that way. Like, I'd probably offer to call you an ambulance.
Well, I did get a free Sprite out of it because they didn't want my shit and vomit laden money. So that worked out. And yeah.
I would have been like, please pull over and park. I will call somebody for you.
No, I drove home.
Yeah, I know you did.
So there you go, folks.
Literally, have fun with that. Shitting myself is a nightmare of mine.
Have fun with that. We're closing out with the intro to the show, Monsters.
Sorry we went a little long.
Whatever. Join us tomorrow for some more episodes of Monsters, and we'll see you then.
It's family hour. There must be something on. Oh, wow! Candy critters!
Oh!
Oh, great! It's Monsters, our favorite show.
Shh. It's starting.